Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's the Emmys. Yeah, it's really fun.
It's Emmy weekend. We're predicting the winners, the fashion, and taking you behind the scenes for all the action.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be a good time.
Plus, we'll show you how to get Kaley Cuoco's red carpet look. And we're spilling secrets from the nominees' past.
Give me your kids and I would, yeah.
Reggae Jean, is that really you? Oh, my God. The Emmys are tomorrow, but the fun starts right now on Daily Pop. So let's pop that champagne. Ooh. Or whatever you pregnant ladies are drinking.
It's Pellegrino.
Pellegrino. Mm-hmm.
I am Justin Sylvester.
Wow, delicious.
Say hello to Morgan Stewart McGraw and Aaron Lim Rhodes.
Yeah.
A sip to this.
Oh, I can't believe you got real champagne. Mm-hmm. You're not drinking
tasty?
Pellegrino in solidarity with us?
No, that's the advantage of not being pregnant.
Is it expensive?
Oh, no, it's definitely chlorine with bubbles, but it's okay. You enjoy that.
Good. Shut up. It's TV's biggest night, and the A-list are coming to play. We're talking Taraji P. Henson, ooh, Kerry Washington, Sarah Paulson. They'll be handing out trophies, and the nominees are coming in hot, too. Kate Winslet is up for Best Actress, the flight attendant star Kaley Cuoco, and we can't forget Ted Lasso, a.k.a. Jason Sudeikis, who's been getting all kinds of Emmy buzz. The list goes on and on and on, which brings me to the question, who are you most excited to see?
Okay, well, I am firstly excited to see Yara Shahidi because she is presenting and I feel like she's been having fashion moments.
Yes.
And I also want to see if Jason Sudeikis is going to wear a hoodie or if he's going to wear a suit. I like
it. Suit all day. What about you?
First of all, I love that because she is having serious fashion moments right now. For me, it's Emma Corrin. You know I'm just a sucker for The Crown. I just want to see what she looks like. I think she did such a good job, so I'm excited to see what she shows up in.
Those are two really good picks, I have to say.
Who is yours?
The cast of Pose.
Of course, obviously.
I want to see the whole cast.
Yep.
It's the last and final season of the show. All of these people have become standout stars on their own, and fashion houses are going to be dying to dress them because all eyes will be on them that night.
You think they talk to each other before the carpet and they're trying to, like, maybe...
No.
When it comes to fashion, that's like voting. You don't talk about who you pick.
You don't, exactly.
Excuse me. Like I mean, Cynthia Erivo did give us a little taste of what she's going to be wearing. That's a very cool woman right there.
And it was early in London. So she was feeling real good that day. Let's talk about some of the night's toughest categories. The Emmy for Outstanding Drama Series goes to Morgan. Which show do you think is going to take it?
I hate to be so predictable, but I honestly think The Crown. I know Aaron doesn't like it, which kills me. It's the only thing we've ever really disagreed on. It is so well written. It is so well acted. It's so well depicted. You get a sense that you are in one of the most iconic and well-known families and what they have gone through. So I just think that they deserve their roses.
I'm not going to say I fully dislike it with a full stop.
Okay.
Maybe my palate just hasn't evolved yet.
Let me give you the palate cleanser you need. Let's start fresh. Let's have a night. and I will turn you on to The Crown.
I'm going to make sure that I took 4 naps that day prior, and then I'll be fully energized and ready. And maybe I should do it post-pregnancy so I really don't fall asleep.
There you go.
Anyway, moving on as we're snoozing on that.
What's your pick?
Handmaid's Tale. Like, Handmaid's Tale, when they're up for a nomination, they take it home. They sweep in many categories. So I'm just excited that they're back on this platform.
You know what? 2, again, really good picks. I'm leaning more towards Handmaid's Tale because it was so action-packed, and I felt like Elizabeth Moss's directing debut was unbelievable. However, we love to give a send-off. We love to give a proper send-off. Mm-hmm. Pose's final season, the cast, the storylines, what was written on that paper and what came to screen was so unbelievable.
Right.
And it was life imitating art and art imitating life with Billy Porter's storyline. So I think if you weren't a Pose fan, when you heard it was the final season, I feel like a lot of people got into it, and I think they're going to be able to take it.
And they did already take home some Creative Arts Emmys, The Wardrobe. I mean, it was to die for. So that show was fully entertaining. You went through all the feels with that. So, I don't know. It could be anyone's game.
Yeah, it really could. Out of all 3 of those, it really could be.
Well, I'm done crying. Let's move on to some ladies who make us laugh. There are a lot of great choices for outstanding lead actress in a comedy series. Erin, who would you put your money on?
It's Jean Smart. I mean, it was the season of Jean Smart. Like, anything that she booked, she's like, I'm going to kill it. And by the way, I'm going to take home a nomination and the trophy.
100, it was her year. Mm-hmm. It was her season. It was her everything. I think that for whatever reason, this woman has, like, paid her dues in this business because it gave back to her this past year with Mare of Easttown and now with Hacks, which Hacks is hilarious if you have not seen it, which I hope you have. It's her night, and I really hope it is.
I think you're right. I'm going to go with Jean Smart as well. Because I'm going there because when you watch Mare of Easttown, you saw how serious she was in that role. And then all of a sudden, the channel changed, or the day changed, and Hacks came on the same channel. And all of a sudden, you see really the range that this woman could do and do well. You know what I mean? Like,
so
she was like L. Cool J. She was doing it well.
She was brilliant. And even when she was serious in a drama like Mare of Easttown, she still brought humor in these moments where you didn't really expect it. Mm-hmm. She's just so versatile and just brilliant.
Brilliant, truly.
Well, Cedric the Entertainer is hosting tomorrow's big show, and he told us he's ready to bring it.
Yeah, we're gonna have some good times. Definitely going to bump it out a little bit, have a lot more fun with it, and that's really the idea for the night, you know, just have a fun, celebratory energy, and I think that, you know, I'm the right guy for the job.
All right, hey, what's going on, everybody?
I'm going to do about 4 changes, you know, just kind of, you know, wanted to bring some energy into the room. You know, usually, you know, the host is tuxedoed up, very black and white, and then bam! It's going to be some sparkle. It's going to be some... It may have rockets come out my outfit. I don't know.
The Emmys are cooking up some sweet surprises for attendees.
We are so excited to be able to share our wines with the Emmy Awards as the official wine of the Emmys for the 6th year in a row.
Winners will get personalized bottles of wine and... Then they'll be served some signature cocktails, a classic martini, an espresso drink, plus...
And then the Reboot Royale, which is one of my favorites. It's a real crowd pleaser, inspired a little bit of an homage to the classic Cosmopolitan.
Can you believe it took them this long to get Cedric the Entertainer to host the show?
I was just thinking about how so much long. Cedric the Entertainer has been in, how long he's been in this game, how much he has done. I think he's going to kill it. He's always funny. You never ever hear about Cedric, like, falling flat and not being good. Like, he deserves his roses, too. That's, like, my phrase of the night. But I feel like we've seen Cedric in so many different things.
Yes.
I'm happy that they gave it to him.
Honestly, I hope it just turns out to be a comedy special where it's like we just get a full-blown, like, all right, this is Cedric's moment, like, nothing else. And I want him to come out guns blazing with the jokes and, you know, offend a couple people.
100%.
Because we need to come out of this.
Offend a couple people.
We
I'm so
need to
over
come
it.
Out of this
Cedric.
With some humor.
If you're not offending people, stay home. Stay home. Coming up, what will Kate Winslet, Billy Porter, and Tracee Ellis Ross wear on that red carpet tomorrow? Tomorrow. We're talking Emmy fashion. Plus, how can you throw the ultimate party right at home? Our Emmy celebration continues. I need to lay off this champagne.
Oh, I'm already feeling it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
There wasn't a glamorous red carpet at last year's virtual Emmy ceremony, but that didn't stop the stars from dressing up. Zendaya won her first Emmy wearing a custom gown from Armani Privé.
Wow.
Tracee Ellis Ross rolled out her own red carpet in this plunging gold ruffle dress. So let's take a look back at some of our favorite Emmy moments over the years.
It's the Emmys.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Amazed.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. Hello.
The power of television is extraordinary.
I think it sort of floored all of us.
Reese, what?
Why are you laughing?
It's so weird that we're all standing here.
It's nice that you're all standing here.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I never do things thinking about awards. Mm-hmm. I was so thrilled that Oprah chose me to bring the beloved Janie Crawford to the screen that was the award, that was the win.
My dress is a little see-through. I'm realizing.
Little date night tonight. Always. We always use these as a date night.
There's almost an addition. Just non-stop everywhere I go, and nobody talks to me about anything else. Uh-huh. It's great. It's so fun.
Yeah. I'm looking at my family. I have 20 Colombians, and I'm scared that they're going to like go crazy and take pictures with all the stars, and then I'm going
to
lose them.
It's nice to sort of see the moments when you're not in a dress, and you have avocado on every part of your shirt, and you smell like urine.
Are you guys ready for that?
No. There's no urine smell or avocado. I will make sure of it.
Can't relate yet. Not really. No.
Of course, we have got to talk about the fashion. Let's kick it off with Billy Porter. Last year, he didn't need a red carpet to work it. Ooh. He brought the drama virtually with this custom white suit that I am loving. I don't know what that is, but I will take it. This right here is my wedding dress.
Should be, because that is so elegant, gorgeous, styled, sophisticated, drama, but not trying too hard. Like, this is how you dress. This is how you look good.
That should be hanging up in a museum somewhere and
God
just live on forever.
I just sneezed on the truth. I had to.
Thank God. Get her tested. Well, Aaron.
Yeah, Billy is obviously king of the red carpet. Forever, like, my choice of who I really want to see just come out. And I feel like, you know, if we saw him in, like, a Jared Leto type of situation at the 2018 Met Gala, do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, you would like to see him in that?
Yes.
I like that. That's a good
idea. It's very regal. It yells and screams and jumps winner.
You know what? I think, I don't know. That seems a little too subdued for Bills.
You think? Bills, if there was like a big like skirt type of thing with a train?
Maybe.
Remember when he did the black velvet skirt? I mean,
that
was.
Next up, Kate Winslet. She looked red hot in a fitted Ely Saab number back in 2011. Morgan, what are your thoughts on what she'll wear tonight?
Wow. I think it's going to be color.
Mm.
I think it's going to be strapless.
Mm.
I think her hair is going to be up.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's going to give us an earring. I, for some reason, see some sort of like a princess ball gown vibe. I feel like it's going to be dramatic. I think the women are going to go for it.
Oh, my God. Kind of like this Nicole Kidman moment from the Oscars in 2018.
100%. Mm.
That's a great color, too.
That's a great color on her, too. You said color.
Can I tell you, I hate that color, but it's a good. I want her to be in color.
Oh, I love that. Let's talk about Kaley Cuoco. In 2014, she made a bold statement in a strapless Monique Lhuillier gown. I love this for her, and she always is very safe and very demure. But you know what? She's single now. So let's say to hell with it. Give me something sexy. Give me something that's gonna scream, I am ready, I am here, I am single. Let's channel some J-Lo and give me this 2015 Grammys look.
Wow.
Can't you see Kaley Cuoco in something like this?
I also think people are gonna bring it in general because they didn't dress up last year. So everybody's ready to do like a non-COVID or COVID-free vibe tonight, you know?
Yeah, this is actually very appropriate for her. This is flirty, sexy.
This is how she should bring it.
Yeah, I want that. Brett, even if she doesn't win, that'll be a winning night.
Brett, hear our cries. Let's bring it back to Tracee Ellis Ross because she always brings the drama. She always brings the fashion. Morgan, what can you expect from her this year?
I just feel like Tracy's one of those people that you never know. That's the point, right? Like, you can't expect something from her because she makes an effort to change it up every year. It's always fashion forward. It's always bold. It's always in your face. And it always, no matter how left it goes, it always makes sense.
No matter how left, she's always right.
No matter how left, she's always right. You better write that down somewhere. That is our we're tagging that as our fashion line. Thank you.
So you put her in Zendaya's 2017 Met Gala look.
Yes.
Why this look?
You know, I just feel like it serves the purpose. I feel like it's bold, it's colorful, it's in your face, it's dramatic, but it's still so beautiful and elegant, and I feel like that's what Tracee does.
Yes.
I feel it transports her to a different country and time.
Totally. She's like in a summer wedding in Spain.
Yeah.
This is why I chose it. You know, I spent a long time choosing this.
Yeah. Great summer job. Wedding in Spain. If I got married in Spain and she showed up like that, I'm kicking her ass out. Next up, Helena Bonham Carter. The last time we saw her at the Emmys was in 1998. She wore this red draped gown that I love. And because she's so quirky and fun and kind of off the reservation a little bit, kind of like me, I'm going to put her in Janelle Monáe's 2013 Grammy look.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
This is
Isn't this chic?
We all took the assignment very seriously.
Very seriously.
I cannot believe how much work we put into this. This is really well done.
I kind of could do it without the hat, but I love everything else. The tailoring, just... The energy that this outfit would bring.
I'm with you.
Well, Aaron picked one of our favorite people, Cynthia Erivo. She shut it down at the Golden Globes in this neon green Valentino dress that Morgan hated.
Are you kidding? He's so shady as F. I effing love this dress.
She did. But Aaron, what would you put Cynthia in this time?
Well, I'm still trying to find out how I can get this dress. The color, the gloves, everything about it. She is pushing fashion forward. She is always coming unassumed. Wouldn't you love to see her in Riri's cupcake dress from the 2015 Grammys?
I'm like, so impressed with Aaron. We're all killing it.
Killing it, right?
This dress.
That's a good pick.
It's bold.
It's a bold.
And we know she's going to do volume. I mean, she'll probably add some feathers because that's what she told us.
Leather
and
feather.
Probably have some pockets because that's what a badass bitch does. You add pockets to a big old dress. And snacks.
Aaron, if you were Emmy nominated, you would have snacks.
Oh, snacks.
Snacks, not pregnant also. Like, there would be a gummy worm somewhere.
Yes, I would have a leg strap, like
with
what
Cheetos.
They do with like the mic sometimes, and there would be Cheetos in there or gummy bears, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, gummy bear, chocolate covered gummy bears.
Oh my God.
Starving.
Should we get out of here.
Should we get to a break with like snacks?
Yes, we're going to get a break and get these girls some snacks. When we come back, Reggae Jean, the rock star, plus the Emmy nominee who was rejected from drama school twice. We have those wild stories. And went back, please.
You can get rejected from drama school?
Twice, bitch!
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Some big stars got to see their names on that nominee list for the first time this year. They've all come a long way. One started out in a punk band, and another told us she'd never be an actress. Watch this.
Y'all, kids and I, we gotta I gotta control this.
Bet you can't tell who that is. Here's a hint. He's the sexiest heartbreaker of the 1800s.
Stare into my eyes. You must have been madly in love.
Before Reggae Jean Page was earning his first Emmy nom for Bridgerton, he was a teen rock star, long hair and all, in his band TSNK.
Ted Lasso welcome wagon has arrived.
Playing optimistic coach Ted Lasso earned Jason Sudeikis an Emmy nom this year, but Jason's not new to sports. He went to college on a basketball scholarship. His high school coach gave him a surprise shout out on NBC's Today.
Just a short reach out telling you how proud we are of you with your success you're having with the show.
He would call me Jason Sudeikis because he said I had no D.
Oh. Yeah.
When I woke up in the morning, he was so alive.
Kaylee Cuoco got her start on the tennis court. The first time nominee was a nationally ranked amateur tennis player when she was just a teenager.
There will never be another one like me.
Cynthia Erivo got a nod for playing Aretha Franklin, but just like the late Queen of Soul, she started singing when she was just a kid, as she told BuzzFeed.
First time you realized you wanted to be a performer, when I was 5 and I did the nativity play, I was a shepherd. And they made me sing Silent Night by myself. I liked how people reacted.
Initially, I was very daunted, very much like listened to the noise, heard all the voices, and was quickly got frustrated and quite scared about it. I very much had to kind of put blinkers on and just do my own thing.
And Emma Corrin's Emmy-nominated portrayal of Princess Di was spot on. Hard to believe, but she was rejected from drama school twice.
But all good things come to those who wait.
Sticking with The Crown, season 4 got so real this year, covering Charles and Diana and so many other wild royal moments. It's up for 11 Emmys. And here to separate fact from fiction is an expert on all things British, including that royal family. Jonathan Sacerdoti is here.
Hello.
How are you doing?
We are good. How are you? Cheers. Okay, first of all, let's start with this moment from episode 1 where Prince Charles meets a young Diana Spencer, you guys.
She wouldn't want me to scare you off.
How would you do that?
Well, you know, like being a mad tree.
It sends chills down my spine, Jonathan. I could watch that scene over and over again. All right, you have to help us. Fact or fiction, did Charles really meet Diana when she was dressed as a tree?
So this one isn't quite true.
Okay.
Charles and Diana did meet in 1977 while he was dating her sister, Lady Sarah Spencer. Mm-hmm. And Diana was only 16 years old, but in The Crown, they've added the mad tree bit. And the show's dressed her up like that because she's rehearsing to be in a play. And in real life, Diana did love the theater. So they probably wanted to signal that side of her personality. And let's remember that later in life, Diana did talk about the real first meeting. She said that she was fat, podgy, without makeup, and unsmart. And she said, though, that she made a lot of noise and he liked that. And in their infamous official engagement interview, which was also reproduced in The Crown, Charles commented on their first meeting, saying that she seemed a very jolly and amusing and attractive 16-year-old. Great fun and bouncy, full of life and everything.
Oh, it was doomed from the beginning.
Yeah, joyful and bouncy.
Bouncy is not what I want my man to call me.
Yeah, no.
How about this moment when Princess Margaret tried to get the royals to call off Charles and Diana's wedding? Watch this.
We can stop them now, before they tie the knot. Not just for the sake of the monarchy, but for them as human beings. We have to stop them now.
I have been wondering about this. Is it true? Is it fact or is it fiction?
Margaret's the best.
This one is fiction, I'm afraid.
Oh.
There's absolutely no evidence this ever happened in reality. In fact, Helena Bonham Carter said that she came up with the idea of including this scene in The Crown. Back in season 1, remember, her own character, Princess Margaret, mm-hmm. then played by Vanessa Kirby, was prevented from marrying the man she loved by the royal family. So Helena Bonham Carter felt that this would be a powerful moment in the story for her to try and stop Charles marrying Diana because of similar pressure from the family when the couple weren't well matched. But we have no idea if anything like this actually happened.
Smart.
You stopped my blessing from my first fiance.
All right, let's stick with Charles and Di. Okay, and this moment where she does a special birthday performance for her husband, true or false?
Please stop.
True?
This one actually happened.
Yeah.
This happened. This is real.
Wait, okay.
This one's a fact.
Okay, is it a fact that he also was upset after? Do we know that?
He was definitely upset.
He was pissed, right?
Well, we don't know that bit. We know that Diana loved dancing and she took ballet lessons privately in the palace. So she did reach out to the choreographer Wayne Sleep to help her perform the dance at the Royal Opera House in front of that huge audience, which could have annoyed Charles, you're right. That was December 1985 as a surprise for him. It wasn't a birthday, as they said in The Crown. It was more likely a sort of Christmas present. Sadly, there's no video of the original. So The Crown's really brought this to life for viewers by recreating it. It shows this birthday present for Charles, as I said, but it was more of a Christmas present. And Wayne Sleep has since said that they became very good friends. And this series reminded him how much the friendship meant to him. But also, he said certain bits aren't quite right in that episode. And he said that dance was her statement of independence.
Wow. What a birthday present for Charles,
honey. Okay, I like it.
Okay, there's one last scene we have to know about. On The Crown, we saw an intruder break into the palace and talk to the queen. Check this out.
I just thought it might be good for you to meet someone normal who can tell it to you, you know, as it is.
I meet normal people all the time.
No, you don't.
That's definitely fact because the man had a backstory and everything, wardrobe, they gave him cigarettes. Like, well, they ain't giving extra props to
you
know.
You never know. Is it fact or fiction?
Well, this one isn't quite real.
Wow.
But like lots of The Crown, it is based on a true story. It is true that there was an intruder in the Queen's bedroom in Buckingham Palace. So that bit's true. That happened in 1982. A man called Michael Fagan did in fact break in and steal some wine. And he also claimed in an interview later that he urinated in a bin full of dog food intended for the Queen's corgis because he couldn't find a bathroom. Fagan described the wine he stole from Prince Charles's supply as cheap Californian, sorry.
Ooh.
And the conversation that he had with the Queen in The Crown is almost certainly entirely made up. In 2012, Fagan said that the Queen went past him, ran out of the room, her little bare feet running across the floor. So there's no indication that they had that sort of deep heart-to-heart that's in there. But who knows? Maybe they did. And the whole beauty of this series, The Crown, is that they're trying to show us imagine things that might happen behind closed doors based on the reality that we know did happen.
Let me ask you a question. I know this is off script, but where do you think Harry's relationship would be with the royal family if Diana was still alive today?
Oh.
That's a really tough one because, you know, I think Harry obviously would have had a completely different upbringing if Diana was still alive today. Mm-hmm. Some of the trauma that was going on. But then, of course, remember that Diana was separated from Prince Charles. And at the time of her death, she was dating Dodi Al-Fayed, which certainly could have been awkward for the royal family altogether. So I think it's one of those imagined histories where everything could have been so different. But certainly there'd have been plenty of drama going on in the family. Even if Harry and Meghan weren't causing it, Diana probably would be.
Well, cheers.
So well
to
said.
You,
cheers.
Jonathan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for
cheers
being
to
here.
You.
After the
Have
break, you
end.
Guys, the secret behind Kaley Cuoco's flawless look. Her makeup artist is showing us how to get red carpet ready. You do not want to miss this.
First Emmys, I'm an Emmy virgin. I don't even care that I'm sweating my dress. So I'm standing there and I tried to move because I have a long gown on, which I've never worn in my life. And I'm like, someone's standing on my gown. It was Sigourney Weaver. So I said, I'm not gonna tell Sigourney to move. So I just stood there for like 5 minutes. I've been watching this since I was a kid and I even cried on the way here because I was so excited. I have been wanting to do this my whole life.
Aw, that was Kaley's hitting the red carpet for the first time back in 2009. This year, she's nominated for her role in Flight Attendant, one of the greatest shows on TV. There is no doubt Kaley will look flawless tomorrow night. Her makeup artist, Jamie Greenberg, is showing us how to get one of Kaley's past red carpet looks.
Something on the red carpet that's gonna make the eyeshadow completely pop is layering. And I like to first start with some sort of primer or concealer. And it's gonna make everything not crease and just look bold. What I suggest is taking an eyeliner and kind of drawing the shape first. And you can end up blending that, but that'll be kind of like our mark of where we're going to stop with the eyeshadow. And you draw kind of this corner color in also. Woo-hoo! Now we're gonna go in and fill it in with the eyeshadow and blend. Now we're gonna fill in the lash line with a little bit of brown. Just gonna bring the whole look together. So now you want to put a base before your base or some sort of primer that's going to give the illusion of luminosity. Now we put on our foundation. I like to just put a little bit here and then bring it down. Cover the nose, the lips, the under eyes. Take a little bit of bronzer and kind of give yourself that chiseled look. I love something luminous, but with a little bit of color on the cheeks. A little bit of lipstick. You plan on going on the red carpet and then going to the after party and then the after after party, you definitely need setting spray.
You know what? I like that look for you.
It's bold. I could do it.
I think you could do it on Daily Pop. It.
Yep.
Coming up, will Kaylee take home the Emmy tomorrow? Our expert is here with her bold predictions. Don't go anywhere.
We should both do it. You could do a bold shot. We're all rooting for our favorite shows on Sunday, but it's time to find out who's really going to take home those trophies. Rotten Tomato editor Jacqueline Coley joins us now.
Hey, hello. So glad to be back.
So glad to see you. Let's just get into it. Comedy series. Who will win and who should win?
Okay, this one's actually kind of, I think, one that I think is going to be a bit of debate, but I think Ted Lasso will win.
Okay.
And it actually probably should be, though, The Flight Attendant. I loved Ted Lasso, but The Flight Attendant was a show that I was just obsessed with. I thought it was such a brave term for Kaylee Cuoco, and the fact that she executive produced it as well. Don't get me wrong, Ted Lasso is going to win. The internet's going to be mad at me, but I lived for The Flight Attendant.
Yes, it really was her best work, and I love that it's a comedy, but it also was a really good thrilling drama.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope they give it to her. I hope the Emmys surprise us. I hope that they're not that predictable.
I mean, they don't like to be. There's always going to be a surprise.
Okay.
Even for folks like me that spend our entire life trying to predict it.
Okay. Yeah. So we might get a flight attendant win. You never know.
Yeah. Never know.
Okay, what about lead actor? Who should win and who's going to win?
This one is actually another one where it's like Jason Sudeikis has been just like sweeping every single win that he's been up for Ted Lasso. People love him in this performance. It is such a different look for him. The fact that he can be like our dad and somebody we want to root for. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to win. But I want to give some love for Anthony Anderson, who has been nominated, I think, every year that Black-ish has been on air. I think this is coming up on like his 8th nomination or something like that, and has never won. And I would love for him to finally get his flowers for that performance.
Why do they pull this BS? He has never given him an award. It's ridiculous. If I was him, I would stop going.
It's a hard category, too. Like, that's the other thing, is like when you're going up against such talented people. Kenan Thompson is another one who's been nominated and never won.
That's the thing. It's like when you're nominated that many times, that says something. That says that you deserve the trophy on the shelf.
Or,
at least a couple.
Or
don't nominate me anymore.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Oh, I don't think they want to do that. It's a fun party. They want to come to the party.
Fine.
Like, I think everybody wants to
party.
Get fancy.
I mean, Ted Lasso is so hard because they are the front runners in every category. It's like the should win, will win, should win, will win.
Yes. In every category, including lead actress in comedy, too.
Talk about that.
Yeah, because I feel this is the only one where we're going to see somebody outside of the Ted Lasso sort of mindset, and that's going to be Jean Smart. She's going to win for Hacks.
Yeah. She better.
Double nominee. Granted, she is going up against that sort of like Ted Lasso, I would say, dominance. They're kind of the ones that I'm predicting to be maybe the Schitt's Creek of this year. But I think Jean Smart is the one to take it because, again, double nominee. She has such great history with the Emmys, and she was incredible in Hacks.
Incredible. We were just saying
unanimous.
That. Yeah. 100%. Okay, let's go to drama. What will win and what should win?
Okay, on this one, the nominees are pretty clear with the fact that The Crown tied for lead nominees, so I am pretty sure that that is what is going to win. But I would say the series that tied with it, The Mandalorian, should.
Really?
And I'm going to just put this out there. I think it should win because that is such a hard lift. The fact that they were able to do a sci-fi story to get people interested in it and to really sort of change the game. I mean, we think about those Netflix series when they did Daredevil. They could never get the Emmys to really embrace it the way they did with it.
Well, I mean, that's not only sci-fi, it's like in the Star Wars realm.
Star Wars realm. It really shows that genre can perform at the Emmys, and this is the first time that that has happened. The Crown will be the crown for seasons to come, but, you know.
You're right. It's going to stick around for us.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would love for them to get that love.
Fine. Mandalorian, Aaron, it's all you.
I know you're not a fan of The Crown. So.
You guys, I'm saying it's not a full stop.
that I do not like.
She's coming over. We're going to fix that.
I get it.
Okay, but lead actor in a drama.
So lead actor in a drama. This is the one we were thirsting over yesterday. Mm-hmm. Mr. Josh O'Connor. He, I think, is going to take this one. He has huge competition in this one. Both Billy Porter, Sterling K. Brown, but I think Josh O'Connor is going to take this one and sort of like keep his running sweep of
and
the lead
gonna
actor.
And he's going to give us an outfit that's cool and his hotness is going to win. And I just, Josh, I love you. Remember me and come on this show. I cannot wait for him to win.
The thirst is so real, but like good job for Regé Jean Page for even getting nominated.
Right. I mean, seriously.
No one's talking about it, but like,
well, he left. He doesn't want to do the show anymore, so I don't really care.
I mean, I don't blame him. He's got a lot of opportunities coming forward for him, so I want to see what he does next.
Yeah, great.
I'll be watching Bridgerton no matter what.
Okay. Yes, we will. Thank you. Jacqueline, so awesome having you here.
You're the best. Thank you so much.
After the break, we're getting lit. Well, at least Justin is, and we're going to show you how to throw an epic Emmys party.
Woo!
I'm telling you, I'm going to find that.
It's time to party! Entertaining expert Paul Zahn is here with us now. He's planning events for Fergie and Pitbull, and today he's sharing tips on how to host the most epic Emmy party on the block. Welcome back, Paul.
Guys, woo! Thanks for having me. These tips are so fun that even like Mayor of Easttown would enjoy this party.
Oh, right? Yeah. And by the way, you guys, if you want to follow along and make this, just scan the QR code and you can get a cocktail and a grilled cheese here.
Let's do it. Let's start. Let's get our cocktail on.
Let's get the cocktail on, right? So we are going to mix up a paper plane cocktail inspired by Kaylee Cuoco, who's up for 2 awards. Mm. Now, I spoke to Kaylee earlier this year, and she loves bourbon. So that is our first ingredient. So in an ice mixing tin, we are going to put 3/4 an ounce of bourbon, like so. Then we are going to add, some Aperol to bring in some of that lovely Italian aperitif.
We'll also skip the Aperol.
Then we are going to do some Amaro Nonino. So Amaro is the Italian word for bitter, so this is going to bring some bitterness to the cocktail.
Oh, nice.
Then we are doing 3/4 of an ounce of lemon juice, like so.
I'm kind of scared of this because I'm a bourbon guy, but I'm not an Aperol at all.
Well,
so mine's just lemon juice.
Just lemon juice, just lemon juice.
Cheers,
we're
going to
give that a shake and then strain that over a big ice rock, like so. And this is very spirit forward, so I have to remind you guys the exits are at the front and the side of the studio.
Let's
so
see.
This is going to be our fun paper plane cocktail for Kaylee. What do you think? How is it?
I can get into it.
It's good, right?
Because I'm not normally into Aperol, right. But I think the bourbon kind of sort of and the lime juice.
Yeah, the citrus and the Aperol really balances out that bitterness. So
I missed that.
Yes.
Tom, I made this one for Tom.
You have some pink lemonade.
Tom, this is for you.
Now, look, I always get too lit at a party.
Right.
So I need to eat before I drink.
Same, same. So we have a wonderful food item inspired by Emily in Paris. It is a Parisian pear and fig grilled cheese.
Ooh.
So step one is we are going to take 2 pieces of bread and we have some garlic herb butter. We're going to spread that on there.
Oh my God, this
like
is so,
so.
Good.
You're already
then
eating the
you're already
one?
Into it? Okay,
yeah,
perfect.
I'm already getting into it.
I want
so
mine.
Get
fresh.
That butter going and we have a pan on medium heat. Then on one side of one of the slices of bread, we are going to do fig jam. It's autumn.
On the opposite side?
On the opposite side.
Wow.
We're getting real crafty in here,
You're
kids.
So fancy.
Wait, I'm doing butter on one side?
Butter on one side, and then fig on the other.
Okay.
And then we are going to put the butter side down on the heated pan.
Do we need oil or anything?
No,
no that's
we have the butter.
Butter.
Oh, the butter.
Then we are going to add in some brie cheese, because brie, hello. Emily in Paris, Breeze from France. See what we're doing here, kids? You got it? You got it?
Wow.
I'm just late to the party, Paul.
Oh, gosh,
so,
yeah,
no, it's
me.
All good. It's all good. So the brie is down.
Mm-hmm.
We have the fig jam.
Uh-huh.
And now we are going to add some arugula. So the arugula's got some spice to it, and it's going to really take this to the next level, much like Emily's trip to Paris.
This is why I ain't got a man. I can't cook.
And then next, we are going to add on the pears. Now, these are French pears. They're comparable to a Bartlett pear, and that's going to bring a little bit of sweetness in. So we have some sweet, we have some savory with the fig.
And if I don't like pear, what would I add in?
If you're going to add nothing, you're just going to add more bread. You're going to top it with some bread.
Okay, perfect.
Or more cheese.
Or more
no,
cheese,
I mean, like
exactly.
At home, can I use, like, normal apple?
You could use an apple, yeah. You could totally use
but
an apple.
But I like pear, so I'm going to throw it on there.
And then we have the salt and then the pepper.
Damn, Paul, I love you.
And
wow.
Then what we're going to do next is put the non-buttered side of bread on top. And then we are going to take a spatula And we are going to really press this down because we really want the brie to get that gooey, ooey deliciousness, mm-hmm. right? So this is basically like a trip to Paris, don't you think,
wow.
guys?
Wow.
Right?
I was just saying in my mind a couple minutes ago, I wish I was actually in Paris, and I guess this is all we can really do.
Yes. Right?
And you just want to press it down to get it really melted and really delicious, like so. And then you're going to top it off with a lovely French flag, a toothpick with a French flag.
Nice. I'm going to try this thing. I can't lie. I had a bite of it in the break, and it was so damn
it's
good.
It's delicious. And speaking of delicious, we also have a delicious dessert inspired by the Queen's Gambit. So right here, we have a chessboard top.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, did you make that?
I did not make it. Cake and Art in L.A. did. And then we also have a queen that's upright, and then we have a king that's down because Anya's character really killed all the men in chess, so she should be upright, you know?
I love it.
And it's got some red velvet cake inside, and it's absolutely delicious.
Okay, now look, I like a little entertainment at a game because people get bored during the commercial breaks.
Right.
So what can we do?
Yes, last we are going to do a fun game inspired by The Crown, and also Beyonce won her show, won an Emmy already, so we have to celebrate her. So this is an homage to Beyonce, too, but crowns are super popular. So what you're going to do is we have these fun crowns, and think cornhole, think horseshoes. You take a candlestick, and you place it, like, in the backyard or on your porch, and then you toss the crowns to see who can get the most crowns on the candlestick, and they win a prize. They win something fabulous.
They win
fun.
The grilled cheese, you guys. Yes.
You guys, Paul, with all the tips, where can people find more party planning tips?
Follow me on Instagram, at Paul Zahn.
You guys, I'm telling you right now.
So good.
This is the one. This is the one. Coming up, will Kate Winslet sweep tomorrow night? Our final debate when we come back. I'm really digging this Aperol.
It's good, right? You just have to mix it with bourbon and
a
little lemon juice.
Right after I opened the fridge, and I was like, is it too early for a glass of rosé?
Are you drinking wine?
Yep.
It's not even 5 o'clock.
If you've been up since four, it is.
When they did my category, I kept thinking, wait, is this alphabetical order? Is it coming? And then I was like, oh God, oh God. I said, Mom, you gotta wake up. And she goes, what happened? And I said, I got nominated for an Emmy. And she was like,
Tracee Ellis Ross was nominated for her first Emmy back in 2016, and now she is a 6-time nominee.
Woo! Wow. Yes. All hail.
All hail. Tracee could finally win her first Emmy tomorrow night for Outstanding Lead Actress in a Comedy Series.
Mm. They deserve it over at Black-ish.
Yeah, they do.
Deserve some trophies over there.
Oh, 100%,
make it happen.
You guys.
It's a long time coming.
And don't forget to tune in to see if she wins tomorrow. The Emmys are on CBS at 8 p.m. Eastern, and we will have your coverage all day long, starting here on E! At 4:30 Eastern.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm ready to watch.
Yes, baby.
Me too.
Now, we can't leave without discussing one of the toughest categories of tomorrow night's show. Take a look at the stacked list for Outstanding Limited Series, our anthology series, Who is Winning? I am, because I just got through that without tripping.
You did
on
very
the champagne.
Well, who's yours?
Oh, mine's easy. Queen's Gambit.
Really?
Queen's Gambit was the Tour de France this pandemic, okay? I would have never got through the second half of the pandemonium without this show.
He's back with the pandemonium.
You don't think Mayor of Easttown really just did it for you? Because I can't see anything else other than that winning.
It was there for the right time and the right thing, but I feel like Queen's Gambit gave you that movie feel in a limited series, and it educated you on something you did not know about.
Ooh.
Well, excuse me, but I was completely shook with Mayor of Easttown with the whodunit little chase that they put us on. Did not see any of that coming in the end. Brilliant performances.
Wait, hold on. Break the tie.
What do you mean? Who do
Queen's
I think?
Queen's Gambit or Mayor of Easttown?
Mayor of Easttown.
Oh, the pregnant women stick together again.
Yes, we do, baby.
Monday on Daily Pop, we'll have all the best Emmy fashions, backstage secrets, and everything you didn't see on TV. And set your DVR, because this week on Daily Pop, Rihanna, Tyra Banks, Melissa McCarthy. Check out Daily Pop every weekday at 11 a.m. right here on E! And you guys, enjoy the Emmys and drive safe.
Yes!
Woo!
Yes.
Eat the rest of my grilled cheese.
So good.
Look around.
You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.